This is URN.
Should the Bank of England concede and withdraw the £5 notes, as well as making a public apology?
I don't know why they even let this information be released into the public. I'm sure they knew it was going to cause so much uproar. Just answering your question, I do think that they should stop. They should change the way they're making the notes. While it's not offensive to me, I can see why it's offensive to so many people. I come from a Hindu background and all my family's vegetarian, and they'd all be fairly offended by it. And while I do think it's a bit of a outrage for no reason, I do empathise or even sympathise with the vegans and religious groups who are outraged by it. But we have to understand that a lot of products, like Abby mentioned when she was just now, contain tallow or animal fat. Cosmetics, plastic bags, bike tires, crayons, soaps and detergents, latex,
candles,
toothpaste, candles, all those products have animal fat. We can't... Are you going to cut out crayons out of your life? Bike tires? Are you going to stop riding bikes? Like... with £5 notes, it's probably fairly easy to cut it out, but people have to understand that most products in the world contain tallow.
For me, there's two very, very important questions. The first one is, are the animals that are being killed specifically for their tallow to go specifically into these £5 notes? And how important is the tallow for the £5 note production?
So in terms of whether the animals are being killed specifically for the notes, the jury is actually still out on that. There hasn't been any official statement. There has been a lot of, I'm not sure actually from who, but it has been said that actually the animals have died of natural causes, but officially there's no real statement.
Okay, so there's two things there. Firstly, if the animals have died of natural causes, what's wrong with using their carcasses for £5 note production and or meat and anything else you want to use it for, such as glue? And second of all, even if they haven't died of natural causes, but they've been raised on farms and used for meat, and then you're using the meat from the animals, then there should be absolutely nothing wrong with that as well. I would have thought, as a vegan or a vegetarian, if an animal's going to be slaughtered, you'd want as much of it to be used as possible.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I also think this shows political correctness gone mad again. A simple question today. Does immigration need to go down?
That's not a simple question, Phil. That's the complete opposite. I don't. It depends. Immigration is such a wide spectrum. You've got, as you said, non-skilled immigrants coming in, but you've also got a large spectrum of... skilled migrants, as well as students coming in, and it depends what type of immigration you're talking about. I think in terms of student migration and skilled workers coming into Britain, I think the more the merrier. We need these people with skills, and we need these people who are wanting to educate themselves at a higher level in Britain to come in and invest in our economy. But in terms of the unskilled workers, I think there should be some control on them, because there's plenty of unskilled people in Britain who need the jobs that they're doing.
Yeah, I think obviously they need to have strong controls on immigration. I think also the mentality around immigration needs to be addressed, because if the level of immigrants carries on as it is, and we do have increasing numbers of immigrants coming into our country, it is going to cause social tensions, particularly in a lot of the northern cities where there's already a lot of tension and a lot of racial comments and discrimination. And I think that although there are a lot of immigrants coming in who are benefiting our economy, I think we do need to make a distinction between whether we want people to continue coming in whilst bringing in good people and bad people, or whether we want to hold down controls completely.
I think the thing you mentioned about cultural tension, I think it's important when immigrants come in that they're integrated into the community and welcomed. I know a lot of people, when they come in from another country, say whether it's a European or Asian or South American country, they flog straight to one area where their people are. So say if a group of Indians came in, they'd flog to an Indian area such as Wembley. I think it's important that British people like ourselves sat at this table accept these immigrants and welcome them, just on a micro spectrum at a university level. If you look at all the amount of international students who come in, they're hardly integrated into the British community. With when I look back to my freshers almost 4 years ago, there was a clear division between the Chinese students coming from Ningbo, the Malaysians, and the other various immigrants. And that division was because of the drinking culture we have on campus. And I think we need to integrate these immigrants to make sure these cultural tensions stop existing.
I was going to just ask the question, do you know the difference between immigration and emigration? Do you know, like, are we losing lots of skilled workers? Are we losing unskilled workers people coming in?
I think the report today was more about unskilled workers coming from the continent, but yeah, carry on.
I was going to say, could you argue that a lot of asylum seekers, you know, people coming from war-torn countries such as, like, Syria, often may be seen as unskilled workers, even though they might be skilled workers and have lost qualifications or proof of qualifications. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about granting people asylum from countries that the West have been bombing, for example?
This is about, you know, immigration. I mean, within that, you've got migrants, you've got immigrants, and you've got economic migrants and all these classifications, and refugees. A lot of the Syrians have obviously escaped a country which is inhabitable at the minute, and lots of them have qualifications. But this feeds in very nicely into sort of what sort of immigration system we should have. Should we have a points-based system where everyone is given a fair playing field, so we don't just favour people from the EU with uncontrolled migration, and we start looking at people from around the world and saying, you're a really skilled doctor, you should be on the same playing field as someone, you know, a skilled doctor from Poland, for example. And yes, you know, refugees, genuine cases of refugees, and also those who have now living in different countries, for example, in Turkey, who now want to come over and compete for the same jobs. There should be a level playing field. So absolutely, we need a new look on the immigration system. And in terms of the mentality, that's a great point. In terms of integration, it has to be for both sides, for the citizens already here and also the immigrants coming in. There needs to be real effort from both sides to integrate.
Yeah, I think we do have a responsibility for refugees in particular. And I think if it came down to it, maybe the controls on immigrants from Europe, from the continent, in places where actually if they stayed where they were, they would have a standard of living. Whereas if a refugee is coming from a country where they genuinely can't live, I think maybe actually they should be a priority.
I went to the refugee panel yesterday, which was in Keaton, and it was interesting. One refugee who was speaking on the panel said, talked about his story of coming into Britain, and it's such a horrible situation that he's been involved in. And obviously he can't live in Syria anymore. He doesn't want to, from the way he spoke, and after I interviewed him afterwards, the way he spoke, he doesn't want to be here, but he's got no choice. And I think it's important that we accept these asylum seekers with open arms, because at the end of the day, we've played a small part in causing the war in Syria. That's another debate. I can see Phil raising his eyebrows at that, but I think we've played a small part in causing that war. And I think we need to accept these asylum seekers with open arms and integrate them into our community, recognise that they're not poor, they're not just stragglers off the street, they're actual qualified, most likely middle-class people in Syria who have qualifications. A lot of them are doctors, engineers. Another guy who spoke to yesterday, I think he was a professor. These guys have clear qualifications and they need to be integrated into our community and accepted, because they can be an asset at the end of the day. We need to look at how they can help Britain as a whole. And these asylum seekers, as sad as their story is, they can also be assets to us, and we need to accept that and accept them.
There could be, I was going to say, there could be also the prevention of terrorism, and that's not me saying that everyone arriving here, all the asylum seekers are terrorists. That's me saying, if you don't open up and show people love, then that breeds hate, and breeding hate breeds fear, and breeding hate and fear breeds conflict.
Yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely right. Refugees, immigrants, however you like to class them, are definitely an asset to any country they come to. But you hit the nail on the head. You said these guys. I don't see many women on, you know, at Calais.
A lot of the women can't survive the trip.
Well, there we are. Maybe we should be looking to what the government is doing instead, looking in the camps in Lebanon and saying these whole families should be given protection rather than single men of you know, sort of our age up to about the 26, I think, a Daily Telegraph reported yesterday. It's quite interesting that there's a large contingent of them. And in countries like France, who are now coming up to the presidential election, Marie Le Pen, for example, is directly feeding off that, because she's saying, look at all these single, you know, middle-aged men. Look at them. You know, these are a threat to our country. So we need to look at sort of demographics of the people we're letting in countries, making sure that whole family units are coming in. And I would fully back that, rather than in just uncontrolled numbers coming in, which will not be beneficial for the immigrants themselves, but also not beneficial for the country as well.
I think, to bring it back sort of more to the original immigration point as well, someone said, and I can't remember who said earlier, but there is that horrible part of, I think you do have to have a limit on the amount of unskilled workers that you welcome into your country, because it does have that knock-on effect of employability for your current unskilled workers, and that in turn can also breed hate and conflict.
And depression of wages also is a big one. For example, if you've got unskilled labour in the building sector from Poland, it squashes down wages for the British builders. So that's a very interesting point too.
Yeah, just looking at, I think we have to take things from perspective. At the end of the day, England's not the biggest countries in the world. It's tiny. And we have limited space. So I think maybe other countries should look at taking some sort of burden off Britain. And I think in terms of the refugees who are seeking a new home, maybe countries like the UAE should start opening up their borders a bit more. Like, culturally, they're more similar to the refugees coming in from Syria. What do you guys think of that? Should countries like the UAE be taking more Syrian refugees?
Yeah, I think post-Brexit, it's a lot more difficult now for us to negotiate with our European neighbours. And therefore, I think we now have to be looking looking outside of Europe and looking to other countries who would be willing to take in refugees as well. But I think any negotiations made with Europe, I mean, it's obviously the forefront of every country's issues at the moment. However, I do think, unfortunately, I do think that Brexit will cause, and even if it's minute, a small increase in immigration, because it's not as if it will. It's a lot of the European countries, and if they can get rid of their refugees to England, they will, because they have no ties with us anymore.
Well, it's quite funny. When I first heard the story, I imagined sort of chicken nuggets, you know, targeting a helicopter, burgers flying across, you know. So a fight at McDonald's. Well, I think that needs to be addressed. Obviously, McDonald's needs to respond in a rational manner. I don't know whether this is rational. Maybe we should be looking at parents instead of McDonald's having to shut off quite a lot, large, you know, demographic of its customers.
I'm not shutting them off. They're just saying that they can't eat in store.
Yeah, but no young person is going to do that. They're going to come to that McDonald's now. They're going to be out of business.
Well, they will if all McDonald's starts to leave.
Well, I just think we should be looking at the parents' responsibilities. Why are these kids on the street fighting McDonald's?
You're telling me you never went to town when you were like 14, 15 years old, 16, 2 years old, when your friends and just mess around during the day?
I started a fight, though.
I'd have to disagree with you there, Phil. It's not the parents' responsibility. A lot of the time, the parents don't know what they're doing, what their kids are doing. I think it's the responsibility of the community to have these kids. A lot of the time, don't have anywhere to go after school. There's no sort of social club, and they see McDonald's as a social club, and then. And then in this situation in Stoke, two gangs came together and then they started a fight. So I think it's a community effort rather than a parents thing. Would you guys think of that?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the problem is that loads of kids just go after school. It's their hangout place. It's their social part. I mean, a lot of kids, when they start being able to go home from school by themselves, they want to stay out as long as they can. And I mean, where I live, everyone went to McDonald's after school, to be honest. And I can see how fights start, because there was such a mix of schools where I lived as well, and there was a lot of rivalry between schools, and as soon as they're all in the same place, it's easy for things to just get out of hand.
This is URN.